Attitude is a little thing that makes a big difference. Weakness of attitude becomes weakness of character. People may hear your words, but they feel your attitude. These are all random sayings about attitude. Attitude is interesting. It can lay the foundation for how we may or may not act in certain situations. And often attitude will dictate the very words that we speak. Attitudes are also complex. And in psychology, attitude is a psychological construct that is a mental and emotional entity that inheres or characterizes a person. So, to put it more simply, attitudes are the feelings we have about ourselves and the world. In all of the lectionary scripture readings for the day, the common theme or arch was law. Observing commandments, acting faithfully. Those who guard God's law are truly happy. They seek God with all their hearts. Your yes is your yes, your no is your no. Our scripture reading today is from Psalms 119, which was part of the lectionary selections, verses 1 through 8. Those whose way is blameless, who walk in the Lord's instruction, are truly happy. Those who guard God's laws are truly happy. They seek God with all their heart. They don't even do anything wrong. They walk in God's ways. God, you have ordered that your decree should be kept most carefully. How I wish my ways were strong when it comes to keeping your statutes. Then I wouldn't be ashamed when I examine all your commandments. I'll give thanks to you with a heart that does right as I learn your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes. Please don't leave me alone. Now, the thing I appreciate about this passage more than the others from this lectionary selection is the hope that it invites. Those who guard God's laws are truly happy. They seek God with all their hearts. I will give thanks to you with a heart that does right. So in other words, be patient with us as we grow, as we evolve, as we become the person that God created us to be. And then it continues to say, with a heart that does right, please don't leave me alone. I love that. For me, that provides this acknowledgement of being worthy. Yet this passage also presents a challenge, of course. So God, you have ordered that your decree should be kept more carefully. How I wish my ways were strong when it comes to keeping your statutes. Well, not keeping your statutes can mean a lot of things, incorporating a wide range of outcomes and behaviors, things we indulge in, or just not being in a great mood one morning and simply not holding the door for someone who's 20 seconds behind you. Again, the verse reads, how I wish that my ways. And my translation is how I wish that human law was strong when it comes to keeping your statutes. So it is important to distinguish between God's law and human law. And I may be going out on a limb here, yet I think my point will come across. And I know there's two lawyers in the room, so there's that. But law is crafted at its core to be black and white. But really, it is anything but. It is created to provide people with two options. You do this and you're protected, or you do this and you're in trouble. In reality, it is convoluted, full of gray, and more often than not, held to protect those who live with privilege. No wonder God is asking us to uphold the decree more carefully. And that is our challenge, to uphold the law of God. Now, God's law should, and you know, let me say this first. I really try not to use the word should. To me, it implies a way out or an excuse that is easily forgivable in like not a good way. I should have done that, but it's no big deal, so don't worry about it. Because the other person is only hearing an excuse, because should implies that the person knew it should or shouldn't have been done, but didn't do or do it anyways. And because it wasn't done, there are implications for other people. And often, those people are the ones that need the most help. So maybe if we focused on attitude and the implications of our behaviors onto others, then the law, God's love will be kept. The word should also doesn't motivate anyone, and it often does the opposite. It can make you feel like you failed, leaving you with a sense of shame and defeat, you know, like I should have gone to the gym today, but oh well, you know, I'm a bad person, or I should have sent that, or I shouldn't have sent that email because I knew that person was going. You can just go down a rabbit hole. That should. So eliminating the word should in our vocabulary will help us to communicate more directly and more honestly. So in this example, I'm replacing the word should with the word need. It underscores a sense of urgency, a matter of importance. So taking all that into consideration, God's law needs to transcend human law. Using the word need creates a pathway for more meaningful dialogue to occur. So, okay, now we know that God's law needs to transcend human law. The next question out of someone's mouth could be, okay, well, why does God's law need to transcend human law? And so this example eliminates the frivolous question and all that dialogue that comes along with using a word like should. This exercise also allows us to get rid of that frivolous question and focus on the bigger and more life-affirming question that is truly being asked. This needs to happen. This has to happen, not this should happen. So human law often protects the privilege, causes division, and separates us from one another. Human law keeps people in their places, their neighborhoods, their schools. God's law welcomes in the stranger. God's law calls us to be open and to be free and allows us to be generous. God's law points to something in us. God's law reveals the best in each of us. And that's the challenge again. How can we access, how can we live into what God's law outlines? One way we can help change human law and live more into God's law is by focusing on the attitude. So, of course, there is a law saying that no one can be discriminated against. Seems pretty black and white. Right versus wrong, love your neighbor as yourself. However, what the law doesn't say is one cannot be prejudiced. That's the attitude. That is the attitude that needs to change. And see, if we use the word should there, it would be a whole different context. That attitude should change. No, it needs to change. So God's law is the goal and the thing we strive to achieve. Those who walk in the Lord's instruction are truly happy. And the scripture today uses the word blameless. Those whose ways is blameless. And here the word blameless is not referring to being sinless, but rather that of complete devotion. The law, God's law, is pointing us to where we should strive to be. Spirituality is internal. It is who we are. Spirituality is inward. And one way that we express that outwardly is by showing up. Showing up for people in our lives, mirroring back what a child is feeling because they may not have the words yet. And when Nora was first born, I was sitting around with her because she was just there, so there's nothing else to really do. But I was scrolling through my Instagram stories and came across one of those collection of thoughts, you know, those ways to live better or inspirational self-help type things where authors might put up little taglines and you're like, oh, okay. Well, this one was outlining different ways to talk to your child when they fall down and are crying. So I've literally had to rewire my own brain because the first thing I would normally say, and I would say with so much honesty and love in my heart, is that you're okay, Nora, you're okay. All while she's crying. She's literally not okay, right? So if I started crying here right now, which I'm about to know, if I started to cry right here and someone said to me, you're okay, it wouldn't sit right. Like, you don't know. You know, instead what this author was suggesting is using phrases like, you're safe. Or, yeah, you fell and that was a big tumble, but you're safe. Those are night and day responses to me. And one way we express our inward spirituality is by coming to church. And yeah, attending church is a good thing, sure. You know, yet if there is no meaning in attending church, there is no meaning in attending church if the attitude is bad. Because when the attitude is bad, the possibility to learning, the possibility to grow, it shrinks. And now, of course, we are all human. And for me, especially in my current stage of life with juggling school, work, raising a daughter, trying to be the best husband I can be, worrying about climate change or whatever else my mind might fixate on at any given point, it is extremely difficult to live each day fully present. We have to give ourselves grace. And it's difficult because we are self-focused. Yet, maybe more importantly, and this may be projection on my part, but we live too much of our life in survival mode. Who doesn't want to feel like they are thriving more? Getting out of that mindset is difficult, but not impossible. And it takes me to this idea of an attitude of spirituality. So an attitude of spirituality relates to possibility, new ministries, change, growth. And when we can remember to check ourselves during the craziness of our day to bring us back to our center, then we'll be given an opportunity to challenge human law. And the image that comes to my mind is the Care Bears with all their powers shining out from their center, the strongest, most stable part of their body. And so when we challenge human law, God's law will pierce through and will radiate with love and will be shining the truth that all people, and yes, including ourselves, that all people are beloved children of the Creator. May it be so for me and for you. Amen.